The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 503. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Majoma.
What's up?
All right, man, we're back with another one. No Chris action, no Brad action. So it's just going to be the five of us tonight. Also, we didn't get a ton of questions this week. So if you want to ask us stuff live during the show, please make sure to do that. Otherwise, we'll have a short show, especially since Brett ain't here, you know. Anyway, let's get into it, man. Alpha Chuck starts us off. We got a couple questions about Nintendo start the show off, so Dumeke will be happy about that. You know, we don't usually talk about Nintendo around here. Although it would be good if Chris was here because he always has that insider Nintendo insight. Anyway, let's get into it. Alpha Chuck, in light of the Nintendo lawsuit against Pocket Pair, what are your opinions on developers patenting game mechanics? On one hand, I can understand a company's desire to protect its innovations. However, in practice, the opposite is true. For example, the Nemesis system by WB Games being patented but never used again. Doesn't this lawsuit present a slippery slope? And do you think other developers are paying close attention to the outcome? Nope, they absolutely are. Because, you know, the way Chris, I'm really glad Chris described it. Basically, what Nintendo did is they patented the whole capturing animal mechanic inside a ball or whatever after the fucking whatever the name of this game is came out, Pal World, after the fact. So they developed, so they put out this patent after Pal World was out, after other things have done this mechanic, and now they're suing Pal World on those grounds, which is insane. I've never heard of anything like that before. You know, again, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I understand Japanese law, but I don't think you'd see something like that in America. It's like you patent something after the fact, then you sue people that made that. It's insane. So it does set a bad precedent. But again, I'm not sure if it's just something within Japanese law that allows something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
It seems like this whole, you know, the way that they're patenting this specific thing can get the hell out of hand with different scenarios. It's like, oh, so what? What do you call it? The dude who made the Muppets. It's like, oh, so Talking Muppets is patent now. You know, nobody can make a show about Talking Muppets anymore. It seems like a pretty dicey place to go. Like in technology, when someone does a patent, it's like really specific to the you know, how something is created. Like if you're created a chip or something or new technology, like it's really specific to the parts that creates this thing. With you know, monsters that can be capturable, it's like really vague. And it's like, how vague does this law go? It's like, oh, you know, can I patent sumo wrestlers? Like no one can make a show about sumo wrestlers anymore or a video game about sumo wrestlers. It's kind of, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this. I don't know. Like you asked the question about it being a Japanese thing. I'm not sure. The fact they retroactively did it, I mean, it's Nintendo, and they're one of the few companies that can get away with it, especially the track record and how much, you know, how much money they have, and just the fact that everyone knows them, you know, at least for the whole Pokemon thing. It's like everyone knows them for that particular reason, so they get the benefit of the doubt for a lot of people, probably, and you know, not only just in the court of law but in court of public opinion, since Pokemon's really popular. It's dicey, man. I'm not a big fan of it. Obviously, Nintendo moves the way Nintendo always does. It's slimy as fuck. But yeah, not a big fan.
Yeah. But again, so I can't really answer the question if it sets a bad precedent, because this might be just specific to Japan, you know? So either way, it's weird. But I'm also not surprised that if any company was going to try something like this, it would be Nintendo, you know?
I mean, again, like I said, you know, when it comes to copyright law and stuff like that in Japan, it can be really harsh. So my guess is that, you know, that if it is found that I don't know. One thing I don't know is that is if it's retroactive.
Yeah.
So like they're very protective over copyright and they'll go after individuals.
By the way, we should be clear. This isn't copyright. This is patent.
Or even patents. Yeah. When it comes to any patents or like, you know, like when it comes to that, you know, owning the rights to something, they'll go after people.
Yeah.
So it'll be individuals, it'll be companies, it'll be all of it. So again, like I don't know. Again, like I said, like, I don't know if they have something like where it's seen as a retroactive thing. But my guess is they're probably trying to do. They're trying to get them like the way they got. Way Chris says, you know, way they got Galoob.
Galoob, yeah.
With the game genie, where they continuously essentially try to take them to court until they burn all their money away. And yeah. Cause them to close.
Yeah, if you know the way, you know, if you guys remember, Galoob actually won, but they lost in the end because they spent so much money with the litigation shit. It's like, so it could be that too. Like Nintendo may just be trying to, you know, sue these guys out of existence. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's I feel like that's what it is. I think they want to just sort of sue them out of existence. And then also the thing about it is that they have that patent in Japan. They don't have that patent in the United States.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm like, what happens there may not happen here necessarily.
So, I mean,
so that, Manny, that's actually more proof to your point that it could just be like, we just want to make these guys bleed. It's not about just stopping them from making this game. It's just, we're going to hurt you now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And remember, this is Nintendo, bro.
I mean, my other thing is that being that like could they theoretically if Nintendo owns a patent in Japan, theoretically PAL World could just cut off the Japanese market and only keep their game in markets that have that patent open.
Yeah,
but who knows?
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? I'm going to take that as a no. So we'll move on. Couple of questions here from Mr. Illustrated Dio, man. By the way, Dio, I already, you know, spoke to you about this because he did have a pop culture question. Save that for the AMAs, bro. Save that for the AMAs. You know, this we're doing the video game questions here. And Dio, you should know better. You've been listening to us since the beginning, basically, dude. But I think that's why he's confused. Since in the beginning, we used to do pop culture questions, you know? So maybe he still thinks there's a remnant of that. But no, we haven't taken pop culture questions outside of the AMAs in like 6 years, probably more, you know?
I mean, to be honest, this iteration of Throwdown, we've never done that.
I think we may in the very beginning, but we kind of stopped that quick, you know?
It's been so long, but yeah, definitely.
We did, man, because when we started this version of Throwdown, we still did the pop culture stuff, but eventually we're like, let's just stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
Grandpa brain.
It happens, man. But yeah, maybe I'm thinking Dio might remember those good old days, you know?
Those were the days.
So just keep that in mind, man. All right. So his first question, both of his questions are about Switch, by the way. Switch 2, The Revenge. How should Nintendo market the Switch 2 to give it the best chance of success? To be honest, just rinse and repeat, man.
I would say for this round, obviously, you know, they have Microsoft and Sony as examples. Have games that can be seen with it that are new,
yes,
and that have a genuine, like, you know, like a, you could, where you can see the improvements that the, that over the original.
Yeah.
Don't just show everybody a bunch of old games and say, trust us, they're running better than they did before, you yeah. know?
And you gotta, so, you gotta have more dudes on rooftops, you know?
Yeah. You know, yeah. I don't think I definitely think is that there definitely needs to be a delineation as to what this does and what game it will be seen with. Like, in other words, this game is the game that takes most advantage of this hardware. Like, kind of a little bit like what they did with the DS, the later DS, where they did, you know, like, they put a better chip inside of it, and they said, okay, games like Metal Gear, Metal Gear 3D, Snake Eater was one of the ones that took most advantage of it, because it also had that additional analog stick on it too. So stuff like that.
Yeah. Let's go down the line here. Yo, Carlos, what do you think Switch 2 needs to have to succeed?
4K. Just advertise 4K.
There you go.
Even though it's not going to be able to do it, it's just, you know, be like, oh, you know, before, you know, we're going from 720p to 4K. This is the biggest jump in Nintendo history or something like that.
What if the, like, I mean, I know that the stupid, what do they call that? The dock, right? What mm-hmm. if we're going down the line, we're getting a new version of the Switch, right? What if the dock, you know, like, because they say there's some sort of performance things that happens when you dock your Switch. What if the dock has an upscaling thing in it?
I mean, that's, you know, something, like, that's does, something we wanted. But here's the thing. Okay,
like, I like, see, in other way, words, by the way, because I, if it, yeah. if it can throw out a 1080p. A signal, right? A 1080p thing through the console, right? Theoretically, if you had some version of DLSS running on whatever the dock is, right? Make the dock a little bit more substantial. Theoretically, you could get it to work. Yeah. Most games these days are in the 1080p range and getting blown up to 4K.
Yeah, but you know? Yeah, no. But by the way, I do want to. I mean, if you want to go down that route, we can. But I don't necessarily think Nintendo fans care about that. So I don't think for Nintendo fans and general audiences, they'll care. I would, obviously.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't think that general Nintendo fans would care about any of that
but
stuff.
But it's like,
think about this. Like, the first Switch succeed. It's out of all the consoles, it is the weakest one, looks horrible, mm-hmm. performs horribly. It's sold more than both of them. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't think Nintendo's going to suddenly start going, like, spec heavy with the next one. It's going to be an upgrade to what we have now, but it's not going to be that crazy because they want to keep the cost down and all that. Mm-hmm. And they know their fans don't care about that. Their fans don't care about 4K ray tracing, spectral illumination, any of that stuff. They don't care. Give me Mario. That's all they care about.
I mean,
you know?
No, I mean that. But I mean, if you're going to be selling a more powerful Switch, maybe that would be a talking point on it.
I agree, but I don't, like, think they're going to be. Obviously, I don't think they're going to be selling a more powerful Switch. I don't think they're going to market it that way. Not necessarily. Again, about this logically, they should do that, but they won't. You know.
But I mean, again, they've already done something similar to this with the DS, where it definitely had, you know, an improvement over whatever the original was. So wouldn't this be the same sort of thing? Like, in other words, okay, these games that we're launching with are the ones that take the most advantage of this advanced hardware that we're using, you know, because they use those words, right? Yeah,
and I think that's how they're going to do it. Advanced hardware, but they're going to start throwing numbers at you. You know, this is Nintendo.
No, I don't think they're going to, Nintendo really never throws numbers. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously you're going to get it, but yeah, I don't think they're going to throw any sort of numbers, but I do think that they're going to at least try, if they're going to be selling a new product that is an improvement over the last, you do need to communicate to your consumers what this thing does, what it does.
Yeah.
Why should you have it?
No, I agree. It's just going to be interesting to see it. Cause remember with the Switch, what did they do? It's like, they showed the big thing was the Switch. part of it. You know, you put it on the dock, play it on TV, take it off, playing it on, you know, by hand. That's not going to be as novel anymore. How would they? Yeah, because you're right. It's like, how do you market it? How do you let people know this is a better machine without throwing a bunch of stuff at them? You know, like specs.
Yeah, I think it's just you just show them something. You show them what the games are that supposedly take most advantage of it. You know, and I think that's what you do. Like, I don't think, like, I mean, again, like, not doing what Sony does, where essentially just showing you a bunch of old fucking games, 10-year-old games, you know, that's been remastered and stuff, and saying, okay, this is what it does. No, that's not.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna do that.
Why? It's always about the new, you know, when it comes to these things. What's something new, and what's the thing that's new that does, you know, works with this new thing?
Yeah. Again, this is a very interesting question to answer because nobody here is really a Nintendo fan, nor are we really in touch with that fan base. So what we want may not be what they... I mean, it's clear that what we want isn't what Nintendo is going to give you, but the fans like it. So
I've learned not to
even try to guess what Nintendo's going to do because I'm always wrong about what they're going to do every single time. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, even though we're not part of the biggest fan base of Nintendo, we know what it's going to be. It's like they're going to announce the next Switch. It's going to have like a catchy name, like the Super Switch or the Switch U. Then Mario is announced for it. That's all it needs.
That's all it needs.
They did another, what was it, Mario? Odyssey. What was the last one? The one with the hat. Odyssey? Yeah.
Mario Odyssey, or are there. I mean, this is too early, but like a new Zelda or something like that, one of those games, and that's it.
Yeah. To be honest, I would have said the best thing to launch with the Switch 2 would have been the sequel to the Breath of the Wild or what the hell is it called? Forbidden Kingdom?
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they should have held that off and put that on there. But then again, you know, didn't matter. Right. Made a bunch of money.
Still sold a lot. You know, it didn't matter.
But that game is pushing that
it runs like ass.
It doesn't run very well at all. Like the old one didn't run amazing. This one runs even worse.
Yeah, but again, to the fans didn't care. You know,
that was my biggest issue because I played the game. That's just one of those things where I'm like, this game is good. It just runs like shit, and it sucks.
Yeah,
you know, like it sucks because you see how like great of a game it is because you know the mechanics are there, the level design is there, you know, everything is there except just the performance aspect. Not to mention the fact that it looks like a freaking worse than a watercolor on a 4K screen, is just tough.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Brett who snuck in. How you doing, sir?
What's up, Brett? And fancy seeing you here.
What's up, people? Sorry for not being around so much. Moving has been crazy.
Yeah, no, we all understand, man. Appreciate you being here. You know, Brett, do you have any thoughts on the Switch 2? What it might need to succeed?
To be the Switch 2.
Yeah, that's my answer. Do the same thing. That's it.
Yep, more of the same.
It's like running back. It's like what was it? Years ago, there was this study that was done on Pabst Blue Ribbon, right? Where it was like, it was doing amazingly. And, you know, the Pabst wanted to find out, hey, why are we doing so good? So then the research company came back and said, don't change a damn thing. What you're doing is exactly what people want.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much. Keep doing the same thing, Nintendo. You'll be all right. You know? All right. Next.
What's up? But Tony's like, but you ain't getting me back.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm done. Done. Yeah, I'm done. Well,
Segway King.
Uh-oh.
That's what I was going to ask. So is there anything that can convince any of you guys, whether you had a Switch or not, to purchase a second Switch? Is there something in particular like, okay, if they say this, this, and this, I'm certified to get it, but like I'm positive, like it turns me in a positive way to get the Switch.
Okay. You could start by answering your own question first.
Yeah. So, I'll start with part of my answer previously. If they announce a Mario Odyssey 2, I think that does most of the work because, you know, I'm a huge Mario fan. number two, it just has to have a good performance bump, man, where it can look decent on my TV. Because, you know, this whole thing with 1080p that gets upscaled, but it's really meant to do 720p, it's just not enough. If they do some half-ass, like, this one had the X1, if they do an X2 on the new Switch, I'm like, this is not good. Because just not good enough.
Yeah,
the Tegra. So they need a substantial performance bump. Hopefully it's more than 32 gigs of storage. Most of the other stuff I don't really care about, especially, you know, the Joy-Cons are probably going to suck as usual. But as long as it has decent performance and it's playable on a TV, all I need is Mario Odyssey and a Pro controller and I'm good.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I said this before, right? It's like, even if you give, and by the way, the specs wise, apparently it's going to be around the PS4, maybe PS4 Pro, lucky, you know, even if you give me good specs, right? Or, you know, and good performance, the other problem is the games, right? I don't generally care for Nintendo games. Yeah, Mario Odyssey 2 would be incredible. I'm pretty sure, just because the first one was great, fantastic. But other than that, I didn't really care for any other Nintendo game that I played on Switch. So am I going to buy a system for one game? No, that's stupid, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, there's nothing that would get me back. It's like the hardware is going to be at least a generation and a half behind, and you have a game library consisting of IPs I don't care for. So it's not for me. Listen, I gave it the old college try. I got back into Nintendo with the Switch thinking maybe they'll win me over. It's just not for me, man. The hardware is in there, and the games aren't for me. So there's nothing. I'm skipping Nintendo. Done, you know? What about you, Brett? Is there anything Nintendo could do to get you back?
Just the games. I mean, I'll probably, you know, I'm not necessarily jumped out 100% as it is. So, like, I don't know. If it's a reasonable price and there's a game or two on there I want to play, yeah, okay, sure.
I have a question for Brett.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Let's say the Switch 2 gets announced and they bring up Uncle Phil, and Uncle Phil's like, Game Pass, streaming, xCloud, whatever people want to call it, available day one on the Switch 2. Would that be a selling point for you, or would it be like, nah, I'm good. I can't play my Game Pass on my Xbox.
Probably more the second one. Yeah, I'm still not complete. You know, if they showed me, I'm even trying to think of some way that they could prove to me that it actually worked well, because then I'd be a little bit more interested, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? What would get you to buy a Switch 2?
I heard Rich told me earlier, he said they need to have a port of Concord.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. I don't know if that rumor is true, but I've heard the same report.
That rumor is going to be debunked right now. to answer Carlos's question, absolutely nothing. I'm not getting... listen, shout out to Nintendo. You know, I'm sure the Switch 2 will be successful, but I have already decided the end of this year, I'm getting a Steam Deck, and that's it.
My man.
I don't need to... No, there will be no Nintendo Switch in my future.
Yeah, good for you. Brian, what about you, man?
There we go. Just has to be the games. Like, I bought the Switch because the games I want to play. So as long as there's games that I want to play on it, then I'll buy it. It's that simple, really. But what those games are at this point in time, I don't know anymore. Because with the Steam Deck existing, it's kind of limited what they can offer. So, yeah. Good luck to them.
There you go. All right. Next question. Hypothetical.
I know
question.
She didn't ask me.
Oh man, because you know you're not getting that shit.
You know the answer.
Not getting that shit. All right. Next question from Illustrated Dio. Hypothetical one. The answer is pretty easy as far as I'm concerned, but let's go for it. What if the Switch 2 costs $500 and is less powerful than the Steam Deck and ROG Ally? It's not going to cost $500. It will be.
Yeah. It's not gonna cost.
I think it will be less powerful than those systems. But maybe not by much. To be a little fair to the Switch 2, maybe not by much, but in no way is Nintendo going to release a system that costs that much. Their whole deal is sell you a cheap system, you know?
Yeah. they're selling you, you know, it's going to be probably, what is it? What was it?
$300, right?
Yeah, it's like $300. Yeah, it's not going to be.
They never lowered the price on that shit either.
And they never lowered the price.
They had the Switch Lite. They had the Switch Lite, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're just going to leave it alone. It's going to be what it is.
Something with PS4 specs is not going to cost $500, man. Not in this day and age, you know? Again, Nintendo's going to go cheap with the hardware, as always, to keep the cost down.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
they're going to use the. Yeah, I mean, that's how they have always done it, right?
Since the Wii, yeah.
Yeah, since the Wii. The Wii was essentially a GameCube, right?
Yep.
So, and that's why it had perfect, it had spot, like, it had, it could easily emulate those, you know, run those games because it was literally the same stuff that was inside of it. So, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, it's not going to happen, dude.
Yeah, I don't think so. But again, it doesn't need to be that for the consumer. Yeah. That's for people that are into Nintendo and stuff like that. And I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if they have any numbers for how people prefer to play either. Because again, what if this would, you know, I mean, there's still the rumors are that it still has Switch. It still has, you know, you can pull off the Joy-Cons and things like that. But I'm wondering if the next version won't even have a dock. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Michael Santiago, our boy, you know, got a question for us. He congratulates us on 500 episodes. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
His question is, why are games still coming out for last gen? We are almost in year 5 of this generation. I may be wrong, but I don't remember PS3 games, Xbox 360 games, making sure there was last gen versions. Do you? Yeah, I mean, there were last gen games that came out, you know, during the PS4 era, but it was like for 2 years, right? More or less. We're 5 years in, like you said. We're still getting these last gen games. Technically, even my beloved Marvel's of Capcom, it's a fucking last gen game. It's a PS4 game. You know,
I mean, one thing is it is cheaper to develop for the last generation. Yep. So my guess is that they you know, being that it runs on the modern PlayStation, I'm sure the cost is not as high, nearly as high on that version. But, the reason is because to date, there is still more PlayStation 4s out than there are PlayStation 5s.
Yeah, even though most quote unquote new games sell better on PS5 than they do on PS4.
I think it's still considered viable.
It is viable because they still sell copies.
Because they still sell copies. So that's why you hear what was it, the Jedi Fallen Order coming out on PlayStation 4.
When I got that email, man, I was like, PS4? Did you, is that a typo? Nope.
Yeah, it's coming out for PS4.
Yeah,
I mean, to be honest, like, you know, when you have a lower grade Xbox out there, you know, the jump lower is not that bad.
I'm curious. I know Digital Foundry, I think they put out a video because that game had performance issues on current hardware. You know, so but I think it was just bad optimization. I really that there's a lot of shit going on. But yeah, you know, and. One of the reasons we got so many last-gen games for so long, you know, is because of Carlos's favorite excuse, the COVID, you know? But we're years past that shit, aren't we, Carlos? I don't think that's an excuse anymore, you know?
No, it's not. It's rarely being used as an excuse anymore. I will say this about in terms of the precedence that that was mentioned. We have seen it for a substantially extended period of time, the PS2. Remember, the PS2 got games way, way after the PS3 came out.
Yeah.
It was like almost even almost lasted as long as the PS3 did, to be honest.
Well, you know why, right? Because the PS3 did so badly in the beginning, you know?
Yeah, it had a false start, and the PS2 was the best-selling console ever. So, you know, that whole discrepancy led for Sony to, you know, just keep developing for PS2 and third party as well. I'm not surprised. Probably what's going on is that they're developing the games for PS4 first, and then they're just porting it over to PS5. I don't think it's the other way around.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, you know, and I think for next gen. Get ready, Carlos. I don't think this is going to stop, man. I think we're going to be getting a lot of PS5 games well into the PS6 generation.
No, I thought you were going to say that when the PS6 gets announced, they're going to do a GTA 5 montage.
They might. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, it's disappointing, man. But this is how it is now. You know, everybody's playing it safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really have anything more to add to that. So if nobody else does, we could move on. All right, Kishak, two questions. Do you think PlayStation even cares how it's perceived at this point? It's been getting criticized on social media for a while now, and the optics of not showcasing new games while releasing remasters is really starting to frustrate people online. Do you guys think it's because Xbox is not giving Sony enough competition? That's precisely what it is. They're coasting. You know, this whole generation, we've been talking about, you know, arrogant Sony. They're here, and they can be. Every single move Sony does ultimately doesn't even affect them. They still make money in the end. So what the fuck do they care? You know, just put out whatever. They know the fans are going to eat it up, because what else are you going to pick? Xbox? They know people are not going to do that. You know, actually, we talked about the Xbox sales numbers on the last episode, where they're less than half than PlayStation 5. PlayStation doesn't have to worry about shit. They could literally they are literally releasing, giving you fucking The Last of Us remaster, Horizon Zero Dawn remaster, and they know you motherfuckers are going to eat it up. So why do they even have to, like, why do they need to be like they were during the PS3 era when they had to fucking bring it on because the Xbox was kicking their ass? That's not happening anymore, you know? And this is like the second generation of this shit happening. You know, PS4 era, they pretty much coasted too. But now it's even worse because they've had that generation and now this one, you know? So what the fuck do they care?
But I mean,
you know?
But I mean, so like in the PlayStation 2 era, they did have competition, but it was also the thing is they did still have market, you know, saturation.
Yeah, and that's also why we got a lot of fluff that generation too, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, there was also a lot. I mean, the thing is, they were still like, there was a lot of fluff, but there was also like bangers too.
Yeah, but you know why, like, Manny? You know why there were bangers? Because games didn't cost $400 million.
That much.
You know?
It didn't cost $400 million.
Like fucking Concord, you know? So that's why. So it's like you have these two things. You don't have competition, and the games cost exorbitant amount of money. So, man, let me stop before I go on a fucking rant, bro. Because I do this shit like every week now about this goddamn generation for years, you know? No competition from Sony. They don't need to worry about anything. Xbox isn't doing shit.
You know? Xbox, yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is why you get what you get now. Exorbitant amounts of fucking money being spent on horse shit. Think about it like this. Concord, huge failure. It's going to hurt a little bit, but ultimately they're going to make it up in some other way, you know, by charging you $700 for a console, you know, that motherfuckers will buy, you know. Man, this generation sucks, man, you know, like it's really, you know what, I'll stop. I'll fucking get pissed off. Anyway, what do you guys say, man, about this?
It's mostly hubris. I mean, they don't got their feet in the fire. They got the opposite. They got their feet in the water. It's like there's really no need for them to push themselves, because you don't really have the other competition really putting them to task. So you know, that's why we have this Sony, quote unquote old Sony. It's not good. We're living in a world where, you know, remasters and remakes are. Where our remakes are called remasters, and remasters are treated as like brand new games, and it's not a good sign. And you mentioned the reason why they released a $700 console is because they thought they could get away with it, and it looks like they probably are.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even like, I understand if the $700 console is a PS6 in 2026, but it's a PS5 Pro, like, and it's $200 more than what the PS5 was. It's ridiculous, man.
And what they're showing is not even like, it's like, okay, it's like, it's not even that much better, right?
Yeah. They literally, to show you the new console, they showed you The Last of Us 2, a game that came out 4 years ago, you know? Yeah, Brett, get in here, man. You could rag on Sony now. Everything you've warned about Sony, PlayStation, has come to pass, bro.
Yeah, and I'm not really happy to be right on that one, to be real honest. It's
fucking insane, man.
So it's just, it's kind of worst case scenario, man. Like, let's be honest. Sony has given us an overpriced console on a generation where they've given us no games, and the only thing they've done of real note is raise the price of games as an industry standard. And you can sit there and talk about how, oh, that needed to happen, blah, 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 simp, 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 all you want. But the truth of the matter is, in the last generation or so, the big, let's not even cut hairs, split hairs here, not the big companies, fucking Sony. Sony has moved to exclude big box retailers out of their share of the profit, which is almost a 50% profit markup from what they were making. And that also does not include the cost of pressing the disc. Not only do they not have to press the disc, but they don't have to sell it to Walmart for half the price. And not only do they not have to press the disc and sell it to Walmart for half the price, but they've upped the price to $70. So yeah, they're making record fucking profits, and they don't need to sell more games too, because we're paying three times as much as we were. We're not paying three times as much. We're paying more, but they're making three times as much. And a big part of that is because, they cut Walmart out, and that's fine. Like, I don't give a shit about them cutting Walmart out. Make your money. But they don't need to have anything. They can charge a ridiculous fee for a console that doesn't have any new games, because guess what? They don't need to have any new games. When they stop making money, then, you know, they'll care. But that shit ain't gonna happen for a minute. They've been dominating for, 20 years?
Yeah.
Shane, get change. What are you going to do about it? Go cry and buy an Xbox?
They know they got you by the short hairs, bro. They know. Yeah. People go on Twitter, complain, remasters, remakes, motherfuckers still buy them. They still buy them, you know? It's depressing, man. All right, move on here. Another one from Kishak.
But man, they made new titles. What are you talking about? They made Conquer. How come you didn't buy that? Support original titles.
And the reason I'm laughing is the inside joke. Oh my god, yes. You're right.
Yeah, that's the only argument worse than they have no titles. They have Concord.
Concord. Brett, $400 million, bro.
That doesn't surprise me. Like y'all are putting 9 pregnant women in a room and being like, make a baby in a month. That's not how it works, no matter how much money you throw at it. You can't have people devoid of creativity. Like, you have so many suits in the room, they are drowning the artists out. How the fuck are you going to make art?
Yeah, you're right.
And honestly, and like, this is where my opinion has changed and kind of gone towards where Brian is in the last few years, but also, like, I don't even know if it's as much that I've gone towards where Brian is, because, like, the AA space has opened up and the quality of those games has increased. Like, even just by, like, smaller studios having access to Unreal, like everybody having access to Unreal, like the quality of some of the games that I've seen, what's the fucking the Starship Troopers like one that was just on Helldivers.
Yeah,
Helldivers wasn't even made by like a big company, like studios that are 400 or 500 people deep, which, you know, sounds like a lot, but compared to like Ubisoft, really fucking isn't. They're making banger games. I don't think we need Ubisoft and EA anymore. I don't think we need the money to funnel through these big publishers. I think at this point they've become a vestigial parasitic thing that's just, it's making, like, y'all are putting $500 million or $250 million into the advertising of a game, and nobody's even seen it or hearing it anymore. And you're doing that because you don't have faith that maybe you can just make a good game that people will talk about. And all this in 2024, when there's like 6 releases a year, you afraid you can't cut through that noise? So the quality of smaller titles and even AA titles risen beyond what AAA titles used to be in even recent years. So fuck it, man. I'm sailing on that ship. You know, like, you give me a really good game made by a couple dozen people, usually that's the shit I'm gonna put a couple hundred hours into.
Yeah. Real quick here, CK in the chat, shout out to him. He goes, I don't believe that $400 million mark. I absolutely do. And there's my reasoning. Correct. You know, if you think it's flawed reasoning, feel free to correct me. Destiny back in 2014 cost $500 million, right? And I realized $250 million that was advertising. But if you adjust that for inflation, it'd be like, what, $600, $700 million now? I could absolutely believe Concord cost that $400 million in 2024, right? And think about it. The game was in development for 8 years, bro. And we've discussed many times how video game companies, you know, especially the big ones, mismanage the fuck out of games, mismanage the budgets, right? I absolutely believe the shit cost $400 billion in the end. Absolutely believe it, you know?
Bro, okay. So for anybody who doesn't believe this, I want to ask you, do you have any friends who work in a corporate job, probably at a big company, who by their own admission, they don't really do anything? Like, they're like, yeah, like if you ask them what they do, like truthfully, they'll be like, yeah. So like, honestly, I get to work, kind of fuck around, start doing some shit around 11, answer some emails, go to lunch, come back, do an hour or two of work, maybe. Like the amount of work that they get done in a week is like 10 hours in some of these corporate things, and that's fine. Like, they can do that because they can sneak around and, like, kind of dodge through and like, milk the big corporations. And by all means, like, 90% of the time, fuck that. Yeah, get your money. Fuck the company. Do what you need to do. But if you are, like, doing that shit in a game company, if you are an artist or a developer or something like that, and kind of skirting by and, you know, not pulling your weight, like, you are the reason this bloat is happening, and you're the reason that you're driving up game costs. But, like, beyond even that, though, like, why the fuck is half the budget of every game advertising? What the shit is that? Am I the only one who thinks that's fucking crazy?
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild, man.
Advertising in general is a very expensive, because you're usually hiring external partners and all kinds of other things. So it's one of those things. If you ever look at the advertising budget for big budget films like, you know, Deadpool and stuff, it's a budget of its own, you know. So, you know, but I mean, for CK, I mean, he does have some experience within the game industry. So I'm not, you know, I'd like to hear more about why he thinks that it didn't cost that, but you know.
Yeah, he did say that it's like too extensive to go into a Twitch chat, which is fair enough. I know CK, exactly. he game developer as well. He worked in gaming, so he would know more. But again, just from the outside looking in, I could absolutely fucking believe that. I could 100% believe that. You know, with the way, from what I understand, the game already, they had already spent $200 million on it before Sony got involved, right? So, yeah, I believe it. I absolutely believe it. You know, it doesn't seem, when I heard that number, I'm like, yep, that makes sense. You know, it's fucking insane. Incompetence eats up money, you know? I mean,
if you look, if you look at some of the other, like, some of the other budgets of their AAA games, like, even stuff like...
What's it, Spider-Man, $300 you know, million, and that's a single-player game, you know?
It's a single-player game. I mean, to give you an idea of how much they're saying that costs, they're saying that Concord costs about as much as Cyberpunk. Yes. Cyberpunk has the same, pretty close to the same budget.
Yep, and that was also in development for 8 years, you know? Mm. So, yeah, there you go.
Makes you wonder. I mean, obviously, the more time things are that's spent, obviously, the more money that you burn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, again, it's like, is it just, it's just people, you know, just having people working for all that amount of time, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Don't know.
It's crazy. But this is why the gaming, remember, I said this, even till this day, bro, this weekend, in fact, you know, I had somebody hit me up. And they're like, oh, man, I think we're heading into a game crash. I'm like, dude, we've been in a game crash for like 2 years. It's just very slow, you know? And it's because of shit like this. Oh, man, it's depressing. All right, next question.
We'll find out more because apparently somebody at Kotaku's got some apparently is doing their due diligence and actually contacting people and trying to find out some
check
some
this stuff. I'm glad you brought this up because this report came from Colin Moriarty, right, who's pretty much been like stigmatized in the industry because he doesn't share the same political views that everybody else does, right? So he came out with this. I expected everybody to be like, that's bullshit, don't listen to Colin, he's a fucking asshole. Then Kotaku, out of all places, a reporter goes, yeah, yeah, he's out off base. I'll have more reporting on this soon. Shit. Mm-hmm. When you agree with your enemy, that lets you know something's up, man. You know?
Apparently, in this situation, Colin was right.
Yeah. Damn, bro.
That's my best
friend. Yeah, I don't.
Colin Moriarty.
Colin Moriarty. Well, I mean, like, yeah, I don't.
I left my Vita at the show. Maybe Colin has it. Let me stop doing that. I'm being a fucking asshole right now. Oh,
but yeah,
man.
That's a lot to sort of come out. And then he's not doing investigative journalism anymore. He's, you know, sort of
somebody
just
came
doing
to
his
him.
Podcast and
yeah, somebody came to him.
Okay, yeah, somebody yeah. came to him. So,
oh man,
yeah, we'll see. You know, like, you know, Colin says it, and then the Kotaku guy says something. Mm-hmm. See.
Yeah. All right. Next question. I like how he starts here. On a completely different note, which villain from a video game did you guys really hate the most or got under your skin? I'm torn between Roy Earl from L.A. Noire and Micah from Red Dead Redemption 2 because those guys immediately made me mad whenever I saw them. Funny. Go ahead, Manny. Who's the video game villain you hated the most?
Video game villain I hated the most. It only comes to mind because of, it's not because of how good of a villain, it's because of how weak of a villain they were. Skullface from fucking Metal Gear Solid 5. What a horrible villain. I hated every single time that idiot would show up. Just the worst. He's like, he shows up and you're just like, he's like, oh, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm like, vocal cord parasites, blah, blah, blah. He gives you a whole, I hated him just for the flame factor because he was nothing. He was not even an issue.
Man, he's like, oh my God, just shut up, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Shut the hell up. Like, you know, you have, especially if you think about the Metal Gear series, so how good of the villains they have had, you know, Vulcan, even Liquid Snake, Revolver, Ocelot. You have all these guys that are all cool and, you know, like cool and like really effective, like feel like dangerous villains. And then this guy, oh, yes, I gave you a virus that whenever you speak, you spread the virus. I'm like, oh, whatever.
All right, Brett, you have a villain you hate in a game?
Oh, yes, Kefka. Fuck that guy. Even years later, just fuck that guy with a rusty iron dildo. Oh my God, that he was the worst.
Speaking of effective villain, right?
Yeah, yo, he was, and it wasn't because like he was like a shoddy two-dimensional villain. Like it's that he was a great villain. But even in the sense that like, you know, like Batman villains are like some of the best villains. Like Kefka was an evil clown who wasn't cool. He was just the worst. Like everything that he did was the worst. Everything that he was the worst. I hated that guy so much because like he just kept fucking your shit up. Every time you go somewhere, oh, what's that? He just got there and poisoned the town before everybody, like, oh, and just like truly awful, heart-wrenching shit.
And I think what Kefka is, it's not like, oh, he had this fucked up past that made him turn out this way, or this happened and this why. No, he's just an evil fucking bastard. And he likes being evil. That's the other thing. He likes it. He's a twisted, maniacal clown who enjoys being evil. You know? Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, like it's this close to just being like comically evil,
yes,
but it pulls it just shy of there and ends up in like psychopath with the joy of being cruel. You're like, oh God, this guy's just like it's a great character, but he's also the worst.
Yeah. See, me, I like Kefka because of those reasons. I'm like, this guy is fucked up. you know?
In a way, I do. But like, that's kind of what we're talking about, right? In the way that I love to hate him. He's one of the best villains. But also, like, he's not like an anti-hero. He's not like a villain who I think is kind of cool. He's just like he's a great villain, but it's because he's the worst.
Yeah, he's a sadistic bastard, man.
The one from Infamous.
Oh yeah, we're not gonna spoil that, but yes, yes. Oh man,
where's that Infamous remake, Sony?
Jesus, right?
Well, I mean, they're too busy making more Ghost of Tsushima games.
Tsushima.
They got to make two more Horizon remakes.
Do you guys think that they're gonna remake Last of Us?
They already have, so of course they will. Again, you know, think about
it. Remake that one.
They will. Because about it. They had a Last of Us remastered, and then they eventually had the remake. We just got the Last of Us 2 remastered. We will absolutely get a remake of that.
Good. Yep. Okay. Yep. I was worried for a minute.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't worry, Brett. You'll get it. Oh man.
And then we'll have a remake of the TV show.
Yeah.
As well.
Can we get a game adaptation of the TV show? Do you think?
I think we'll get an anime before we do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what if we get a game based on the anime?
We have to have a CG movie first. You have a CG animated version. Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that be the Netflix spinoff?
Yeah.
It depends. Well, they still need to do the play. The plays first.
Let's see. Video game villain. Can I name Hassan? I'm tired of that guy, even though he hasn't been around for 2 years. Oh, man. Or she who shall not be named, who Brett, she's poking her head out again. She's trying to come back. Voldemort? Yeah.
Bitch, get out of here.
Like, we don't want you, you know?
This gold digger bitch will not go away.
Hey, listen, everybody's got to make money somehow.
Yeah, she wants to get back into the grifting game. And yeah.
Did she ever finish that documentary that she had the Kickstarter for? No, right?
Nope. And the company closed. Who else is a video game villain? I know it should be. My head's just going other places, like video game insiders. But let's stick with actual video games.
Bobby Kotick.
Bobby Kotick. He is absolutely a video game villain, you know? But again, probably because I've just been in like a fighting game space lately. Motherfucking Magneto from X-Men Children of the Atom. God damn. He hasn't got any easier. This motherfucker. For some context, for almost a decade, whenever we would face a hard boss in any game, Manny will be, we say, was he Magneto hard though?
Magneto hard.
He Magneto hard? That motherfucker's crazy. You know?
Magneto is cheap. That's how
super cheap. He traces a shield around himself and you can't do shit against it for like 10 seconds. You know, meanwhile, he's just fucking you up, you know? Oh, man. And here's the funny thing. Even in the Marvel's Capcom collection, you could set the shit to, like, the easiest setting, and he's still a pain in the ass. Still
difficult, yeah.
You know, so Magneto definitely, and he is a villain, too, you know? Definitely a video game villain. And also Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat 3, that motherfucker, you know?
The way he taught and when he taunts you,
yeah, it's
like, you weak, pathetic fool.
He was fucking annoying, man. And also, I know we're supposed to be like a villain within a video game, but I'm gonna just count the entirety of Battletoads, man. And Ninja Turtles, the first one, the Konami one. That game itself is a video game villain, you know. Evil fucking game.
I managed to beat it on the
Ghosts
collection.
And Ghouls, man. Shit. All right. Brian, the villain you hate the most in a video game.
I actually don't have any that I hate that much. I guess one of the ones I can count is Deadpool from the Wolverine X-Men Origins game.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I just really hated... I more just hated the fight rather than hating the boss. But then, I actually liked the boss the most because I hated the fight where it was and I hated the character because obviously the film just ruined him. So, ironically, I only hate that boss because of everything else, not because of the boss itself.
I think that's fair enough. What about you, Rich? Who's your most hated villain in a video game?
Oh, that's a tough question. Wow. You said some great ones when you mentioned Shao Kahn.
Yeah.
I know I got my ass whooped multiple times, but I got him. But yeah, that was a pain.
Carlos, did you go?
I don't think so. Okay. I'll go with Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. Oh,
the original. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Jason Schreier. You know,
wait, man.
Yeah. Question for Carlos. Are you talking about the Nintendo game?
Yeah. I never knew when he was going to pop up. He just popped out of nowhere every time. I'm like, well, I'm going into this room. I'm turning to the right. And then he just pops up. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. It you know, even though I was a little kid, I couldn't figure out the pattern. I was like, what's going on? How the hell do I get this dude to pop up? And how do I do it so he won't scare me every time he does it? That's one of them. Another one, Mikola, just because it was ultimate villain of Shadow of the Erdtree, but you don't really get to fight him. So that was kind of disappointing. So I'm like, screw you, man. You busted out a sibling as your consort.
Some bullshit.
That was not even alive. That's some bullshit. Fuck you.
Also gross.
Yeah.
That's
you.
Otaku Man says SNK bosses are the devil. Yeah, man. Oh, by the way, just real quick aside, because I'm in like fighting game mode right now. So last week I watched this like really long documentary, like, you know, fan made obviously on YouTube by Street Fighter. That was like, hey, that guy did a good job with that. Then he also saw that he had one for SNK. King of Fighters. It's like, oh, watch that too. And this is something I kind of knew, but I didn't know, because I'm not really SNK guy. Like, apparently there is something called SNK boss syndrome or something, where it's like SNK bosses are tough. And I could believe that, because like the Boston Samurai Showdown, man, fucked up, you know? So yeah, like when I eventually get it, because I'm like, I want to check out those King of Fighters games. Those backgrounds look really nice. I'm gonna be prepared to like get fucked up by like Rugal and stuff, you know. Fighting games in general, man, had some crazy fucking bosses, man. You know, that I'm so traumatized by. All right, moving on here. Whoa, last question of the night, people. And this is a sponsored one by Mr. Romudith. He is sponsoring one of Dio's extra questions. What are your predictions for the Tokyo Game Show? What do you expect and what do you want to see? So when is TGS again? I know it's soon. Let me look this shit up.
This upcoming week.
September 26th through September 29th.
Oh, shit. All right. Rich, since you were already talking, what do you predict will happen at TGS and what are you looking forward to?
Well, what I predict is going to happen is that we are going to get a release date for Carlos and Manny's most anticipated game of 2025, Death Stranding 2.
Uh-oh.
I could believe that. Hey, Rich, check this out. I'm on Capcom's website, and they're showing off the games they're going to have there. So they're going to have Monster Hunter, Wilds, obviously. Monster Hunter Now, too. What the fuck? Dead Rising Remastered, Marvel's Capcom Collection. This is all at their booth. Ace Attorney, Konitsugami, Path of the Goddess, Street Fighter VI, Terry Bogard, obviously. He's going to be there. And Monster Hunter Now, that fucking mobile game. All right, so, you know, they got some interesting stuff at Capcom. But yeah, here's the thing with TGS. There's exceptions, obviously, but for the most part, it's not a show of megatons, you know? I know it's Riku's favorite game show of the year, but generally speaking, not a lot of megatons out there, but we will have Sony there. They were not at a Gamescom. Nintendo, I think, is at TGS. Don't quote me on that. I don't know about Xbox. I don't know if they are or not. Go ahead, Rich.
That actually was going to be my question because, yeah, Phil Spencer said they have a presentation planned for TGS. So the question I would like to ask is, what the hell is Xbox going to show? Because I thought they didn't have people buying consoles in Japan.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a good question. I honestly don't know, man. But obviously, you know, we will be covering TGS on Throwdown, so stay tuned. But I don't really have any predictions, to be honest. More, you know, Monster Hunter, obviously.
Sony's going to have a presence.
Yeah. What do you think you're going to have, Carlos?
Well, probably Rich's favorite or most anticipated game of all time is Death Stranding 2 release date. honestly, I don't know what Sony can announce. I think it's going to be PS5 Pro related, like maybe like another list of games that are going to be compatible or going to have updates for compatibility with the new hardware. Yeah, and hopefully we get, and this is not Sony related, but hopefully we get a release date for Monster Hunter Wilds.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling, and I think Rich was the one that mentioned it.
Uh-oh.
It's the fate. It's the ultimate show of fate, and you know, I guess some kind of karma getting back at me. This game is probably going to get a release date around the time that I'm going to be gone. And it's just, I've already accepted that fact.
Yeah.
It's going to be unfortunate. But it is what it is. And, but hopefully I'm able to see, Capcom release a date during that.
All time right. Frame. Carlos, let me cook here. I'm going to say good. And here's why. Every time you have been out of town for a major game release, the game has been fire.
That is true. Shout out to Red Dead Redemption 2, Elden Ring. What else? There's a couple more.
The Division.
Shadow of the Erd Tree.
He was around for
that. Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2, yeah. Manny, we're listing off all the games that Carlos was not around for when they came out.
Death Stranding, the first one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe that's how the law of physics goes. But, yeah, I'm
surprised. The team, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I have to. Well, I'm taking one for myself too, because I'll take my PlayStation over there.
By the way, this is interesting. And Rich, this is to your point about Xbox. Apparently, there are rumors that Final Fantasy 16 is going to get announced for Xbox, which would actually make sense. Remember, Square Enix was not happy with the way this game sold, and they've been talking about putting their games on other platforms. So what do you think about this particular rumor? It sounds pretty credible to me.
I think that is an excellent rumor, because it came out on PC last week. So, yeah, I could see that definitely being an announcement. I hope that is not the only thing that Xbox is going to announce, but that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, yeah, I should reiterate, I'm not going to say the rumor is credible, because we don't know, but it sounds plausible, very plausible to me.
Yeah.
You know? I wonder if we'll also get an announcement for Final Fantasy VII on Xbox. Bring it all, man. You got to make your money back, you know? So very interesting. All right, anybody else want to jump in on TGS stuff? What we may see? Guess not.
It's hard.
Yeah, I got what I wanted for this year, Marvel's Capcom Collection. I'm good for the rest of the year, man. I don't give a fuck what else comes out. I'm happy, you know? All right, man, that's going to do it for us. Another good show. Actually, Carlos, do me a quick favor. Did we get any questions while we were live? Like in the chat? Not in the chat, in the Discord?
In the Discord. Let me check
real quick. Yeah, just real quick, you know? No question left behind, you know?
No question left behind. No questions I have been left on Discord. But I do want to give a shout out, because one of the last posts on the Throwdown Discord was from a couple of minutes ago. Oh, actually 1 minute ago. It's Tumeke. Posting some nice pictures from his trip to Japan. He's still in Japan right now.
That's what's up.
Living the dream. Going to every Nintendo store in the whole country. So shout out to you.
Oh, by the way, I just looked. I looked because, you know, sometimes we get extra questions. There's actually some leftover questions. I'm going to throw them in here so we get a full show for you guys. Let's get it in, man. I'm going to go with a Logic Wins question. Rich, this one's for you specifically, man. What is your preferred genre of gaming and why? Also, which game represents the pinnacle of that genre in your eyes?
Oh, wow. That's a pretty extensive question there. well, here's the thing. One series that I absolutely love is probably one of my most favorite series, period, is Mass Effect. That was like the first time I got into any type of RPG type games. So, especially with the storytelling and the detail to storytelling to just how meticulous BioWare used to be, I have no idea what to expect with this Dragon Age, this other game coming out. But no, Mass Effect, that was a top tier game for me. So I do like RPGs. I also like survival horrors, you know, survival horror genre. But I have to say, in terms of my most favorite, it's RPGs. It's hard for me to replace anything above Mass Effect. I have tried out some of the Final Fantasy games, not too many of them. So I am curious to try out some more of them. But yeah, right now, my top pick, RPGs. Mass Effect definitely was one of my biggest memories as far as gaming, with stuff that I actually liked as I started to get older. So, yeah.
That's what's up. Okay, I just realized these leftover questions are from episode 500. That's why some of them are specific to certain people. Dio started that trend, which is interesting. So, Rich, got another question for you. This one is from Dio. I don't know why he addressed this to you, but because this is kind of for all of us, but whatever. What upcoming multiplayer titles would you consider streaming with the panel or fans? So this is for you, Richard.
Okay, well, I'm also going to open this up to everybody. Obviously, Monster Hunter Wilds.
Oh, yeah.
Because
we're back.
Yeah, I am someone who didn't really fully understand the hype for the series until I saw it at Summer Games Fest, and then I said, okay, yeah, now I see why. That long presentation is a lot of stuff going on, so looks very exciting. That for sure is one. What else can I think of? I mean, I think that's obviously GTA 6, you know, if we ever were to play GTA Online, but I have no idea what they're going to do with GTA Online for that game yet. So, but Monster Hunter Wilds, I would say for sure that is, I would say, the most recent, because we actually know that's coming out next year.
And, you know, for you guys who have been listening to Throwdown for a long time, you know that for a hot minute, we did stream us playing Monster Hunter World. So we're back, baby. When Wilds comes, those streams are back. The Throwdown game night every weekend. You know, we're not going to become full-on streamers like those other guys, but you're going to get something at least Fridays and Saturdays for a while, you know, because we're going to be playing the fuck out of that game. So get ready for that. And probably with some GTA 5 as well, because we actually did stream that for GTA 6. If they actually get the online out on time, we might dive into that as well. But Monster Hunter, for sure, you know? All right, so that's that question. Next question here. Carlos, it's for you. I don't know why he singled you out for this, but here we go. If Xbox fumbles the ball with the next Call of Duty and Game Pass doesn't help meet expectations, what's left for Xbox to rebound if Microsoft isn't satisfied? If Xbox finally decides to discontinue Xbox Series S, could that action boost developer morale and confidence in developing more significant AAA games for the hardware again?
Well, if the series doesn't succeed, then all they have left is their IPs and their developers. So I feel like the only logical step is to just become a third party developer. Because before it was more of a, you know, like they have their own system and they transition to Game Pass, and Game Pass is, that's it. Like to quote a great philosopher, this is it. It's Game Pass or die. They're really, so if the console somehow fails or doesn't really, or they don't release consoles anymore, they're not necessarily dead, because Game Pass, their whole purpose now is for Game Pass to proliferate throughout, you know, everything, through through streaming on like Fire Sticks and hopefully Rokus and Apple TVs in the future, to other consoles, to your PC, to laptops or Steam Decks or anywhere. So that's just their vision and what they're trying to accomplish. But if that goes down, then what I mentioned before, they have to be a third party developer. My guess is if they would ever get to that, they'd probably try to sell everything off. Just because I feel like Microsoft as a whole wouldn't tolerate that. I feel like the reason why they're still in this gaming space is just because the potential for massive revenue generating all these, developing all these games and getting their ecosystem intact and getting subscriptions and all that stuff. I think that's the major driving force to keep investing into Xbox from a Microsoft perspective. But if they don't have that and it's just the games, then it's pretty dicey. I would feel like they would try to sell everything off at that point.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like third party, but the thing with third party, it's like they don't even have any first party games really. So what the fuck are they going to have, you know? But I do think Xbox will become a platform for games. That's what I think they're going towards, you know? But we'll see, man. It'll be very interesting. And the last question here from Ghost3131. I'm assuming this is for each of us individually, but we're not going to do that because it's too fucking crazy. So I'm going to keep it general. What are your favorite PlayStation 2 games of all time? Where do we start, bro? Whew, it's a lot. God of War 1 and 2, Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3, you know? All the Ratchet and Clank games, the Prince of Persia trilogy, Grand Theft Auto GTA. 3, Vice City, San Andreas. Bro, you could go on with that. Final Fantasy X, you know? It's a lot, man. I'll stop because you guys could probably go on too, but what other games do you guys want to throw in there?
I'll answer for Manny Okami.
You know?
Shadow of the Colossus came out during that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the end of the PlayStation of generation? PlayStation 2 generation?
Yeah, that was almost at the tail end, because I remember, I think it came out like right before the PS5 came out, or the PS3 came out, like maybe like that's either that year or
God of War was considered late in the game.
God of War 2, it was, yeah
God of War
2. God of War 1 and 2 were considered late.
Yeah
Especially
2, because I think that actually came out during the PS3 era, you know,
literally came out as the PlayStation 3 was coming out.
I'm looking at a list here just to keep me in track. Okay, even though it originally came out on GameCube, it was popularized on PS2. Resident Evil 4, you know, which revolutionized third-person shooting, you know. Burnout 3. Woo!
I'm going to answer for Brian, SOCOM.
Yeah. There SOCOM you go. 2. So we could go on for a whole... We could probably do a whole podcast just on PS2, you know. It was fucking incredible, man. We don't get games like that anymore because they cost too goddamn much. You know, it's crazy. Yeah,
I mean, and all of those things, you know, all of those games, they weren't really done from a corporate perspective.
No,
I mean, Grand Theft Auto that was the least corporate game at the time.
Yeah,
like no one, you know, it was so remember it was so risque what they were doing. It's like people thought it was just a bunch of anarchists making a video game.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah, wouldn't get shit like that anymore. Everything's by committee now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even God of War, it's like...
Yeah.
It was more people... People were trying to make best video game.
Yeah, put loot. You know, I'm talking about the new God of War. Put colored loot in there. Everybody likes that.
Put some loot boxes.
Yeah. But the original God of War is the fucking motherfuckers like, yeah, I like Jason the Argonauts. Let's do something like that. You know?
I saw another, I'm looking at a list and I see Psychonauts came out during the PS2 era. Mm-hmm. You know, that game wasn't made by a committee. Who the hell thinks about that, making that type of game?
Yeah, exactly. Just more creativity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was watching a video about this, you know, talking about how gaming has become more corporate and stuff. And, you know, at the end, they said that, you know, the last hope is like indie games. I kind of want to push back on that because even indie games have to kind of stick within a certain parameter that they know will succeed. You know what I mean?
2D side-scroller Metroidvania type.
Like, I agree that indie games is the best place for innovation, but you're not even seeing that anymore. You know, not a lot, because they're trying to fit within a certain parameter too, you know, and then there's certain unsaid rules within gaming that are permeating entertainment that it's like, you can't go past this point, you know? So even indies, the one place where you could get real innovation is being stifled, you know? It's upsetting, man. Like, being a gamer now sucks. we used to have it good, man. We used to have it good.
Well, being a gamer now sucks for people who experienced, you know, back in the day type things. Yeah. I'm pretty sure kids these days have no frame of reference to that. So they're like,
well, kids don't play games anymore. That's the thing. They watch games, you know?
Oh, yeah, they watch games. But they play Fortnite and those types of games. But it's unfortunate. They don't know the youth. They don't understand. We're back in the 90s. In the 2000s, we used to have a whole bunch of games where it's like every game was different. They were different experiences, and these days it's like, what's the laundry list of check marks that we need to check off to make this type of game? Like I'm looking at the Dragon's Age game.
It looks like
a game made from a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
When the game came out originally, it had its own flavor. Yep. It had its own sazon. this one just looks like let's make a Dragon Age game that has elements of every type of game being released.
Yeah,
and that's what came out, or that's what's coming out.
Fucking depressing, man. All right, we're done here, and I mean that for the show, not in the gaming industry, even though it could be that too. Rich, man, what's going on with the coalition? You mentioned TGS, so I'm assuming you guys are going to be, you know, covering it. Maybe not on the ground, but you're going to be covering it regardless.
Well, that's a great question. To be quite honest, we'll probably post some things on the website. I don't know how extensive we will be covering it because we are pretty slam right now here at the coalition with game reviews and previews and you name it. This is the busy gaming season, so for those interested in checking out some of the upcoming games, I would encourage you to stay tuned over at thecoalition.com, as well as the Coalition Gaming, because there's a lot of things we're working on that you're going to start to see. Well, there'll be a lot of stuff going up this week, but yeah, stay tuned for that. Also, next weekend will be the return of I Am Negan.
The nuke.
Yes. And we will be talking about the Daryl Dixon show. So myself, Adam Vale, and Carlos Romero. So stay tuned for that. But outside of that, very busy time right now. Gaming, entertainment, so on and so forth. So stay tuned. We got a lot of things we're cooking up.
There you go, man. Good stuff. All right. All right. We're done here for the Sunday show. Another episode in the books. So make sure you follow Throwdown for all the goodness. We are over on Twitch, Twitter, and Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping, and where we get our questions and the news. So shout out to the fans who are always in the Discord chopping it up. We're also on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show, that's two words, Throwdown Show. We're also on YouTube. So if you like the video, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live. We do the live stuff simultaneously now on Twitch and YouTube every Thursday and Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And for links to everything, check the description down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Good luck to Phil God.
Yeah, oh, it's done. It's over. I wonder how much that shit cost to develop. Man. Oh, by the way, Brian, not only good luck to Failguard, good luck to fucking BioWare, bro.
Yeah. Godspeed, BioWare. Press F.
Press F.
Press F for BioWare.
Fuck. All right, man. We're going to talk about that more on the Thursday show. Later.
Peace.
Jesus.